A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. Copyright Burlington Books 2011. The year was 1775, and the two cities in our tale were London and Paris. England had a king with a large mouth and a queen with an ugly face. France had a king with a large mouth and a queen with a pretty face. Both countries thought that no harm could ever come to their king and queen. The news, like today, was filled with stories of rich people and poor people. Criminals and honest people, clever thieves and powerful judges. But there was one big difference in those days. If you were caught breaking the law, they could send you to meet the hangman. Chapter 1. A Mysterious Message. It was late one Friday night in England, and it was hard to see the Dover Road because of the dense fog. Four tired horses tried to pull a carriage uphill, but the road was very muddy. The driver whipped them, and finally the horses moved slowly up the muddy hill. The heavy carriage was carrying passengers and the mail. Three men guarded the carriage, walking next to it with rifles. Their faces were covered with scarves. Suddenly, a messenger approached them. The guards thought he might be a thief. One guard pointed his rifle at the messenger. "Don't move," he said, "or I'll shoot." "Is this the Dover Mail?" the mysterious messenger asked. "I'm looking for a passenger called Mr. Jarvis Lorry." "Stay where you are," the guard said. "If you move, I'll shoot, and then you'll be very sorry." "I'll wait here," the messenger said. "But is Jarvis Lorry in the carriage? Please check." A minute later, a passenger came out from the carriage. "I'm Jarvis Lorry," he said. "How can I help you?" "Here's a message for you, sir," the messenger said. "It's from Tellson's Bank." Mr. Lorry opened the letter and read it. "Please meet the young lady when you get to Dover." "Very well," he said. "Please tell them that my answer is recalled to life." The messenger nodded, said good night, and walked away. Mr. Lorry got back in the carriage and closed the door. The guards put down their rifles and looked at each other. "Recalled to life? What on earth does that mean?" asked one of the guards. "I've got absolutely no idea," laughed the other. The driver whipped the horses, and the carriage continued on its muddy way. As the carriage rode towards Dover, Jarvis Lorry looked out of the window and thought about the news. He could hardly believe it. 18 years had passed since Dr. Manette was imprisoned in the Bastille prison in Paris. 18 years. It was so unfair. It was as if they had buried the poor doctor alive. And now it was Lorry's job to dig him out of his grave. Mr. Lorry had been working for Tellson's Bank in Paris when the doctor went to prison. He had rescued Dr. Manette's infant daughter, Lucy, and brought her back to England. Now she was a young woman, and very beautiful. Dr. Manette was finally free, but he was probably a broken man now. His former servants, Monsieur Ernest Defarge and Madame Thérèse Defarge, were taking care of him in a room above their wine shop in Paris. Mr. Lorry tried to imagine being in prison for 18 years. What happens to a man after he has been in prison for such a long time? The doctor had suffered so much, and he had been without his daughter for her whole life. They were total strangers to each other now. Mr. Lorry knew that it was his responsibility to reunite Dr. Manette and his daughter. First, he must tell Lucy that her father was still alive. Then he would go with her to the Defarge's wine shop and bring the doctor home. In the back of the carriage, Mr. Lorry imagined the conversation between himself and the doctor. "Did you lose all hope of getting out?" he would ask.
"Yes, I lost all hope long ago," the doctor might reply.
"But," Mr. Lorry would ask, "do you still want to live?" And perhaps, the doctor would reply,
"I don't really know."
Jarvis Lorry finally arrived at the Royal George Hotel in Dover. He got a room and went to sleep for the night. The next morning, he washed, shaved, and then had breakfast. It was a great day. He was going to see Lucy Manette, the doctor's daughter, for the first time in many years. During all those years, Lucy had thought her father was dead. Now, Mr. Lorry was going to tell her the truth. The man at the reception desk announced that Miss Manette had arrived, and Mr. Lorry went to her room to greet her. Lucy Manette was polite and pretty, with long brown hair under a big hat. Although she was grown up now, she had the same face as the baby from so many years ago. Mr. Lorry bowed to her.
"Please sit down," Lucy said. "I received a letter saying that you wanted to talk to me about something."
Mr. Lorry was nervous.
"Yes," he said. "My name is Jarvis Lorry, and I'm a banker."
"Have we met before, Mr. Lorry?"
Lucy asked.
"Well, not exactly," Mr. Lorry said, feeling very nervous.
He tried to think of a good way to tell her his story.
"It's very difficult to begin," he said.
Lucy said, "The letter said you had something very surprising to tell me."
"Yes, that's true," Mr. Lorry said. "I want to tell you a story about one of the bank's customers."
"Did you come all this way to tell me a story?" Lucy asked.
She knew something was not right. Mr. Lorry said,
"This is about somebody like your father. He's also from France, and he married an English woman too. He asked me to look after his child when his wife died."
Lucy was becoming suspicious. She said,
"But this story is about my father. Please tell me what's going on."
"I will," said Mr. Lorry. "For years you believed that your father was dead. But the truth is that he has been imprisoned in the Bastille prison in Paris for 18 years. And now I have just learned that he has been set free. Lucy, your father is not dead. He's alive. He has changed. He's a broken man, but he is alive."
Lucy was shocked, and suddenly she fainted in her chair. Lucy's governess, Miss Pross, ran to help her. She pushed Mr. Lorry out of the way and helped Lucy lie down on the floor.
"What sort of banker are you? You're responsible for this," Miss Pross said. "You made this poor girl faint."
Mr. Lorry tried to be friendly to the governess.
I hope you will be coming with the young lady and I, he said. We are travelling to Paris together, just for a short visit.
Paris? I don't want to go there, Miss Pross said. I have heard bad things are happening in Paris, and the poor people are becoming desperate. You must look after Lucy very well and return home soon.